You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Hello and welcome to the Habs Draft Special from Eyes on the Prize. And we're here today doing our own mock drafts and talking about the consolidated rankings that Jared Book has done for about, 5 years, Jared?
This is the 7th year, I think, I've done it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 8th year. 8th year, 7th at EOTP. The 2016 ones were just done. They weren't posted. It was really bad. There are only 5 sources. But yeah, the 7th year at EOTP and the 8th year overall. So yeah, it's been a long time.
Get a life, Jared.
This is my life. No, I'm kidding. All I do is look at draft rankings.
I like how Anton just squeezed in there. Hello, Anton. Where are you now? We don't want to know because you're on the run anyway.
I'm in Pristina. So I'm hoping that the war won't start for another 2 days.
That's not even a real place. You're making shit up
you,
now.
You are not a real place.
Well, that's true.
Matt is living in Newfoundland, right?
And Matt and Anton is going at it as normal. Matt, how are things at your place?
I'm terrific. It's a beautiful rainy day here in Rothsay, New Brunswick. And I just got out of the gym. And Pierre-Luc Dubois has not been traded anywhere yet. So we get to continue on with that whole narrative for as long as time will allow us to.
Jared, just a quick question in regards to the rankings. You said it was a mess 8 years ago. What have you done in order to change it to become more of a solid mass rather than just exploding mass?
Using more sources, first of all. That's something that we've done throughout the years. There's also been a lot more, sources out there since 2016. And just a matter of using those sources and trying to figure out which ones are, I don't want to say most reliable, but I don't like to put rankings in when it's just somebody on Twitter who posts their rankings. One of the rules that I have for myself is that we like to use it when the person justifies their rankings on a website or things like that. And the other thing that we do is we, now that we have 16, this year 16 sources, we remove the top 2 scores and the bottom 2 scores and eliminate everyone who doesn't have at least 6 rankings out of the 16 to just kind of make it more manageable and to make it more fair, because we penalize people if they don't have a ranking from a source. So basically we take the last ranking of that source, add 10 to it. So that way they're penalized for not being chosen by somebody, as opposed to somebody who's gets ranked last. You know, if we ranked everybody at, say 101, it doesn't really benefit the person who was ranked 100th. So that's why we do it that way. And we get pretty good results, about 80% correlation, which is pretty good for the draft. And yeah, we'll see how it goes this year.
Indeed, we do. And we're going to do our mock draft. I will have to be honest, as you guys already know, but I had to redo my draft because somehow Chicago Blackhawks in my mock draft picked Adam Fantilli as number 1. So I was like, I'm redoing this stuff. Also Dvorsky went at 4. So I had an option there that was quite interesting for obvious reasons. And I felt it wasn't really realistic. But looking at it, let's go with you, Anton, because you're in Pristina and it's a pristine podcast as of now. Let it rip with who you picked at number 5.
Yes. So in my mock draft, which obviously was it was from Draft Prospect Hockey, right? And we went by Bob McKenzie's rankings, his last rankings, and we went with around a 33% randomness chart. Just to make it as realistic as possible. And in my mock, it ended up with Bedard, Fantilli, Leo Carlson, and Will Smith selected 1, 2, 3, 4, which gave me the tantalizing option of either going with Matvei Michkov or going with someone not as exciting as Matvei Michkov. And even if it is a player who will you will have to wait for a couple of years to have in your system. It just seems like Matvei Michkov is too good of an option to pass up on. If you read from the Elite Prospects Draft Guide, for example, when they have talked to, I think it was a Western Conference scout, and he said, like, if there weren't these problems, if Matvei Michkov was just playing in the Western Hockey League, it would be a real conversation between him and Bedard who would be first overall. And if you remember that, then getting him at fifth overall, even if you have to wait 3 years for him, it's too good to be true. And no amounts of Ryan Leonards or David Reinbachers or Zach Benson is going to change your luck that much as having the potential of a franchise altering player at number five.
I'm going to leave it to Matt to just respond directly on this.
I went with Matvei Michkov. I've maintained
somewhere the universe is starting to implode.
I can't pass up that kind of talent at fifth overall if it's sitting there. If I'm the Montreal Canadiens, I think that's the pick that they have to make. They can afford to wait for him. Their timeline is not one that's going to see them competing for the Stanley Cup next year or the year after. Now they could try to accelerate that. They could make some big moves in the offseason that we don't have, in our foresight at this time. But I think they could afford to wait. I think it's a wait that they, if he's available, that they should take the opportunity to get that elite talent. I think it's almost universally agreed that he's the second best player in this draft. It's just the concerns over how long it's going to take for him to come over and whether or not he'll come over and whether or not he's interested in playing for that team. That seems to be the impediment to people putting him higher on the on their draft boards. So for me, if he's available, I've always said from the beginning, it'd be if Leo Carlson or Adam Fantilli don't magically slide down to number five, I would take Matvei Michkov if he's there. And then after that, it would be Zach Benson. So I sat there for a minute and I was looking at Zach Benson like I wanted to take him, but I've always said, if Michkov's there, I'd take him. So I did. I think that level of talent, something that's too good to pass up at fifth overall.
Well, staying with Europeans, I'm going to be there. And I did have the same option as you guys. I'm a huge Michkov fan. I think that Montreal will compete a little bit earlier than when Michkov comes over. So I actually went with David Reinbacher. Partly is also with Thibault's podcast and what he told me about him and made it more inciting to pick a player like that rather than just thinking like it's a really bad pick. It's not. It's a good solid pick. He will be an NHL stud for years to come. Is he that fantastic player that Matvei Michkov is? Probably not. Let's be honest about that. I don't think, as you mentioned, Matt, not many are. I've been on the Michkov hype train. I actually was with the Montreal Canadiens scouting team when Michkov scored his first national team, men's national team goal in Sweden hockey games, with a lacrosse goal, obviously, or a Michigan goal. We were just shaking our heads. Everyone was. I still went with Reinbacher. It's a hole in the organization, really. Even if he doesn't pan out as a first pairing kind of guy, he will be on your second line forever. And you won't get him next year. So he is on that Michkov map as well, because he's asked the teams from what Thibault said that he wants to finish his diploma in Switzerland. And it's something that the Swiss school system takes very seriously, and he takes it very seriously. And that speaks to me as a very mature, smart player on and off the ice, which is something that I think Montreal can need and build something around. So I'm going back to Jared, who started the conversation but didn't get to say anything.
I went with Ryan Leonard as my pick. I also had the choice of Michkov. I had the choice of Reinbacher. I'm not opposed to either of those two. I'm of the theory that any pick that they make is wait and see. I'm not gonna freak out or make declarations on draft day and saying, oh, they had to pick so and so or so and so. So, in my mind, I think Ryan Leonard is a really good player. He's a player that gets in your face, who brings something that the Canadians always need, and every playoff team needs a guy like that. And when he's, on your top six, like Leonard is expected to do, I think that it's something that you take every day in the draft when you have the opportunity to. If it was up, part of this also is I didn't want everyone to take the same players, so I went a little bit over that as well. But no, if it's not Michkov and it's not any of the top four, for me, I think Leonard is the next guy in that list. And I think that it allows the Canadians to be creative a little bit later in the draft as well. And we'll get into that, how that Leonard pick plays into what I did later on and what I think the Canadians could do later on as well.
Indeed, and this is really the situation that is going to happen. Most likely, is going to happen at the table for Montreal Canadiens. They will have to wait and see what the teams in front of them are doing and who's left on the table. We've heard from Tony Ferrari, I think it was, that mentioned that Columbus is looking to pick a big center, which speaks about Leo Carlson. Most likely, that means that it's going to fall down to San Jose. With Will Smith, Mitch Cobb, or any other player they have high on their draft board.
Or Anaheim.
Ranaheim. Well, you really think they take Mitch Cobb at two?
I think it's possible. I don't. I think it's possible that, until this report came out about Columbus, I think it's yeah. I think it's possible. I think if Anaheim doesn't really, they're not going to compete. They're even a worse spot than Montreal. I mean, they have a lot of good young players, but there's so many holes on that team that, I think that's why a lot of the conversation of trading down. Because then you can get Michkov, wait a few years, and also get an extra high pick. I remember when I was, we didn't do any trades in this scenario, in this simulator. But when I was doing the simulator, and they have like the draft pick chart that allows you to make trades, you're able to trade number five, say, for 8 and 40, which is a high second round pick with Washington as an example. And so if Anaheim can get a low first or a high second to go along with, say Montreal at five or any of the top 10. I think that that's something that you take into consideration, just because they have so many holes on that organization. But yeah, I think it's possible. Do I think it's likely? No, I think it's very likely that Montreal has the choice of Mitch Govan or Will Smith at five. But I mean, the draft very rarely goes according to plan, very rarely. So at
We
this
all
point.
know that.
So at this point, I mean, anything's possible, except for anybody else but Bedard going number one.
Matt, who did you pick at 31?
Well, Jared brought up, the draft not going according to plan or according to rankings, and that's kind of what happened in my mock draft. I think the Habs are going to be targeting Ethan Gauthier with number 31. I firmly believe that if he's on the board, they'll probably take him, but that depends on who happens to fall. And in my case, I was shocked to see Quentin Musty sitting there at 31, and I couldn't pass it up. He's a big winger, high floor guy. Like he just fits the profile of an NHL player. He's going to be in the NHL, and if he develops well, he could be a legitimate, big time power forward winger for a long time in the show. So, too good for me to pass up. Seeing Quentin Musty at 31, so I went over one of my favorites in Ethan Gauthier to take him because he was sitting there, and that's something that the Habs are going to be looking at throughout the course of this draft. There's probably going to be some guys that have no business being available when they pick that they're going to have to take them because they happen to slide that far. So I think Musty's one of those. I'll be shocked if he's available at 31st overall. He's a top 15 pick on some boards ahead of the draft, so I don't think he'll be there. But he was there for me, and I couldn't pass it up.
Anton.
I was surprised to see that no one really fell. Well, I wasn't surprised because it was a mock draft with less randomness. I did one with maximum randomness the first time around, and that was more fun because then you could get top 10 rated players at 31. That's all we hope for. But now I had the option of guys like Oliver Bonk, Lukas Dragicevic, Tanner Molendijk, the goalie, Michael Rabal. But I went with, well, basically the opposite of Quentin Musty and Gavin Brindley, the University of Michigan right winger, who is 5'9", 157, well, at least listed as that. So a smallish winger, has been kind of operating in Adam Fantilli's shadow, but he would probably have gotten more hype if Fantilli wasn't there. He is on our consensus board, he was ranked 25th, and Yeah, it's a lot of elements that you would like in a winger. A lot of people are going to complain now that I'm drafting a small guy in the first round. Obviously, he's 18. He can still grow into, bulk up a little bit, but he's named as a Swiss Army knife. He can do a lot of things really well. He can, both shoot and pass and skate quite well. And he's a dynamic player who can add a lot to an offense. And I think at the end of the first round, that's as good as you're gonna get.
I went in the same kind of vein as Anton. Brindley wasn't there for me in mine, but I was able to pick Bradley Nato, and Musty wasn't in mine either. So both of those two guys are ranked higher in the consensus rankings. Musty's 22, Brindley is 25. I picked Bradley Nato, who was 30th in our consensus rankings. Just playmaker, shooter, scorer. The shades of Mike Hoffman, as elite prospects put it, and while that might scare you, we have to remember that Mike Hoffman was good at a time, not the Mike Hoffman that's currently with the Canadians. But no, I just think that it's picking Leonard in the first with the first pick or the fifth pick, the first Montreal's first pick, gave me options. I could have gone defense, but none of the options that I really like were there in that spot. And I know there's going to be some that are going to be available later on in the draft as well. So with 37 pick 37 looming, I went for the top player on the board, and then position wise, we can look and see who's dropping at that point. But yeah, I went with Bradley Nato.
Yeah, and I'm gonna get slammed because, well, Anton picked a small guy. I'm picking Europeans, so obviously I got Edouard Chalet from Cometa Brno in Czechia, and it might be due to my knowledge or friends in Czechia and the knowledge I get from them. What they said was really he should have gone over to BHL or CHL or any of the junior leagues after the World Junior Championships and play there for the rest of the season. The Czech league is a tough league, especially for youngsters. And all of them, the five people I spoke to in regards to this, said the same thing. There is no tougher team for youngsters to come up in than Brno. So confidence issues, tough to play, get earning time to play in the league, etc., etc. All this was against Chalet. I think he's having a breakout year next year in regards to this, no matter where he will play. So I went with them. Obviously, the Musty went at 27, and the other ones went as well. I was looking towards maybe getting Harbaugh at the goalie, but on the other hand, I was like, no, you don't pick a goalie in the first two rounds unless you're very, very sure of them. And goalies for me are voodoo, so I'm not doing it.
Well, I can just fill in on that because you're speaking about the Czech and a goalie, and I've already spoken about Michal Hrabal, and I actually selected him at 37. My thought of that was also as you, obviously, like goalies are voodoo. You don't know what you get in 18-year-old goalie, obviously, but sometime you just gotta, end up like Montreal has selected a goalie in each draft, basically, and it's always been a late round, flyby or whatever. You're just taking a freebie on a goalie late. A couple of years ago or 3 years ago, you took, for example, a Czech goalie who was playing for the Omaha Lancers in the USHL, and that has worked out pretty well. Jakub Dobeš is now signed to an AHL deal with Laval. So why not do the same again and pick a Czech goalie from the Omaha Lancers in the USHL? Hrabal is almost 2 meters tall. He's 6'6", 216 pounds. He's a massive, massive goalie who fills out the net, and he is currently listed as the top goalie prospect in the draft. And I was, as I said before, I was considering picking him at 31, and then he was available 6 picks later at 37. So I'm not expecting in the real draft that Montreal will pick both 31 and 37. I think they're probably going to package that into something more exciting. But if they were to end up picking, getting a playmaker in Brindley and a goalie for the future in Hrabal, you could do a lot worse.
Indeed, you can. And there is this talk about needing a goalie in the pipeline. They've lost two goalies this year. if I remember correctly, on top of my head, Dekau and someone else, which I forgot. And
Rebetic is the other one. But he can technically stay around because he's played pro. There's a loophole that allows him to keep their rights, his rights, for I think two more years, I think. It's definitely a concern.
Yeah, and you can continue with who you picked at 37.
Yeah, I as I say that goaltending is a concern, I could have gone with another goaltender, but I did not. I wanted to go perhaps right defense. There's a lot of guys in that range of late first, early second. You know, there's Oliver Bonk, Dragicevic that Anton mentioned before. But both those guys were gone by 37. So my waiting to see what would be there at 37 didn't really work out positionally. But what was available there was Oscar Fisker-Molgaard, Danish center playing in Sweden. And every time I read scouting reports on him, all that sticks in my mind is Lars Eller. And perhaps that's a little bit of, that he's a two-way center, some offensive upside. And I just think that when you have an opportunity to take a player like that, those are the players you build and, you know, are flexible, right? They can play wing, they can play penalty kill, they can play up and down your lineup. That was the pick that I went with at 37.
I reached a little bit with number 37, 56th ranked in the consensus rankings compiled by Jared. I went with Kalen Lind from the Red Deer Rebels. Anybody who's seen this guy play knows he's an absolute nightmare. Incredibly physical, to the point where he was playing in the top prospects game, right? And very early on in the game, he absolutely wallpapered Zach Benson and set the tone for a game that ended up getting really testy. That those games have a tendency to get pretty intense, and he made it that much more intense. And then he dropped the mitts in the third period with Alex Ferrand, who he was giving up about 3 inches and 50 pounds against that guy, and then held his own and was landing some good shots. This is the kind of guy that I know he's ranked 56 overall in the consensus rankings, but we saw it last year with Samuel Savoie, who went way higher than his rankings were projecting him to go. Teams are looking for that kind of sandpaper player who can also put up points. And that's exactly what Kalen Lind is. For me, that pick was kind of a coin flip between him and Etienne Marin, a defenseman from the Moncton Wildcats. I was looking at it and I couldn't decide between the two, so I literally flipped a coin. Not going to lie. But Kalen Lind, if they happen to get him, I would like to see him more down at like the 69th pick, to be honest, but I don't think he's going to make it that far. I think somebody's probably going to homer pick him pretty early in the second round. So to see him available at 37, I was like, you know what? I think that's a pretty damn good pick, and I'd go with it because he's the kind of guy that if you've got him in your lineup come playoff time in the NHL, he's going to be the kind of guy that, you know, everybody who's cheering for the team is going to love him. Everybody who's cheering against the team or playing against the team is going to hate him. So he fits that kind of mold of a playoff performer in the NHL that really comes to play when the games matter the most. So Kalen Lind, 37th overall.
And I reached as well. And you got to be honest and tell me how much I reached here, but I went with the guy I published an article about on Monday, and it's Felix Nilsson, or Felix Nilsson as he's used to hear his name, but obviously we're comparing everyone to Arthur Lekkonen, and this one is pretty damn close. Not a great skater coming into the draft. Neither was Arthur Lekkonen. He worked on it for 4 years before coming over to Montreal. But he has that hockey IQ, the hockey sense. He sees the ice very well, can be used in both the zones. What I find really, really interesting, having seen him a little bit on TV in the under-20s, is his one-touch game. You could almost call him a tiki-taka player because he moves the puck so fast. And it's not always that his teammates understands what's going on, but if you have a player like that and play with him for a couple of months, you're gonna start understanding. And I think I'm going out on a limb here, and I think he has seen the Sedins growing up, and he plays a little bit like with that one touch that they had together. I was looking at David Edström as well. Another Swedish player who had a really, really strong under-18s. But I'm not convinced about Edström. And in the end, it was one tournament against a season, and then David San Luis' voice cut through in my brain as well. Obviously, I was really high on Felix already, but he said, we had him until the under-18s, we had him higher on elite prospects than we had with Otto Stenberg. So I was like, yeah, let's go for it. That left me, obviously, with three Europeans with the first three picks. I'm sure that is not going to happen. But if it does, I'm going to have one heck of a year to cover all those Europeans if they all stay in Europe, obviously. Going down to, what is it, the 67th pick? No,
69.
Then I took,
nice.
Then I took Luca Pinelli from Ottawa 67s in OHL. Center, small, gritty. As you guys have mentioned, you're looking for those gritty players that maybe plays a little bit higher tempo, a little bit grittier than their size should let them do, a little bit like a honey badger. Obviously, a relatively late birthday as well. That speaks to me. But that was about it, really, that I knew about the player. I've heard the name somewhere. I don't know if it was...
Yeah, his big brother was drafted by the Kings 2 years ago.
Yeah, but I also think that one of the guests on the pond has spoken about him. So something lingered. I'm not as, you know, I'm old, Anton. I can't really remember what happened 2 days ago. So asking me to remember what happened 2 years ago is, you know, a lost cause.
No, it's just because it was one of the few draft profiles I actually wrote that year, because we were in the finals, so we didn't really write that much. But I remember Francesco Pinelli.
And who do you have at 69, Anton?
I have Aram Minetian, who I'm guessing is of Armenian descent, a player, a right-handed defenseman out of the U.S. National Team Development Program. It was a weak class for the defenseman out of the U.S., but he played well, and he played well in the U-18s here down the line, where he was one of the more shining stars on the defensive side for Team US. He says himself that he is a two-way offensive defenseman. Who the unique thing about me is that I'm as good offensively as I am defensively. You can put me in any situation. Apparently, in April 2023, he was quoted as saying that, and that sounds pretty good. He's a pass-first offensive defenseman. Someone who basically, he's not the most physical guy, but he can get in there and break up pucks just by being smart and getting in the way. And he can create off the rush, and he can set his teammates up for success on the power play. Right-handed defenseman, always, you know, difficult to find. And if you find someone who has played at quite a high level already at the beginning of the third round, that sounds great to me.
Jared?
I kept, every time I did, you know, this isn't the first mock draft I did, you know, I've been doing them all weekend. Every time I got to at least pick, you know, this pick 69 in the third round, I needed to have at least one right defenseman, right, one goalie. Two needs in the organization. And in this one, I went forward, forward, forward. And I really didn't want to take another forward. And like, sure enough, I get to pick 69, and sitting me straight in the face is Jaden Perron of the Chicago Steel, USHL, undersized forward. And I see this pick as another Lane Hudson, you know, a smaller player, late, you know, third round, late second for Hudson. And he's just a smart, skilled player. If it wasn't for his size, he'd be a lot higher. Where have we heard that before? Pretty much everywhere. And I just, as much as I wanted to go positionally here, I couldn't pass him up. And I'm like, whatever. There's going to be a, you know, defense and goalies later on. I can do. There's not going to be another Jaden Perron later on. So yeah, in this one, I went that route. And this is what you can do when you pick, you know, in my case, I picked Leonard at number five. Pat picked Ryan Backer at number five. When you do that, you can, you know, maybe go and get one of the smaller forwards later on, and not have your organization overwhelmed with smaller forwards. And I'm not saying that's a reason to pass on Michkov, but if you take Michkov, you don't take a guy like Perron maybe later on in the draft. So yeah, in this case, it kind of worked out for me, and I'm very happy with that pick, and I'll deal with defense and goalies at the
Another draft.
next pick, next pick or another draft. Exactly.
I had the same issue. I started thinking position and I started thinking goaltender. I think we can all agree the Habs need to pick a goaltender at some point. Had my eye on Carson Bjarnason from the Brandon Wheat Kings, but he went the pick before mine at 68. So at 69, I decided a little bit of a reach, but not a big reach. I went with Adam Guyan. I think everybody was impressed by what he was able to do at the World Juniors the past season. So what? I think I was about five picks ahead of where he is in the consensus rankings. I think he was 74. I know you don't want to make a pick based on one tournament, right? But what I saw from him in that World Juniors, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I've watched him play in the USHL. I don't watch the USHL, not going to lie. But what I saw from him in that tournament, big goaltender, covers the net really well, really good lateral movement, very athletic, particularly for his size. I think they could do a heck of a lot worse in terms of adding to their goaltender pool there. And for me, again, I was thinking position, the guy I wanted went, and then I took a look at what goaltenders were still on the board, and Guyan was sitting there for me. So I was like, you know what, let's take him, see if we can develop this guy into an absolute beast in the NHL. Again, what I saw from him in that tournament was nothing less than fantastic. So I'd love to see him in a Montreal Canadiens uniform one day.
We take a quick break for our sponsors. Thank you for waiting. We'll get back to the real episode in a moment.
The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki season two is
marvelous.
Great. And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki season two, now streaming only on Disney Plus.
And we're back.
Indeed. And I actually went with a goalie in the next pick at 101. I went with an overager that has been passed over twice. So I went with Tomáš Souchanek, more or less on the same reasons as you did, Matt. We shouldn't really care for one tournament. He had a good season in the WHL, but really what stood out was his play for Czechia in the World Juniors, and that caught my eye. It was a positional need. I took it. I'm not sure. The good thing, or the, unfortunately, really is that you only have 2 years to evaluate him coming out of, since he isn't coming out of a European club or coming from the NCAA. So that really hampers. You need to make a quick decision. Can he translate this game quite fast into the AHL? I'm not sure. But he was there. And to be honest, Jacob Fowler went to pick ahead to San Jose Sharks. So I was like, okay, who's the next goalie on the list? And I grabbed him.
At least we're getting a goalie.
I wish I could say I did the same thing, but I really want to take a goalie at this pick. But the guys I was looking at, Damian Clara, Scott Ratzlaff, were all taken. So I'm like, all right. I didn't want to reach for that next tier of goalie quite yet, with another pick coming at 110. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna take one of my other positions, and I went with Matthew Mania, right defenseman, and it's not only does he have the name of the draft, in my opinion, there's a lot of good names in this draft, but Matthew Mania is one of the best.
We have that every pod Matt is here on.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no better name than Matthew. Come on.
Every day at Eisner Prize is Matthew Mania. Especially when there's a bottom 6 minutes. Matthew Mania, right defenseman, is offensively gifted, but also good in his own end. I just think that there's a lot of upside with this pick. He's with Sudbury Wolves of the OHL. 85th in our consensus rankings. His highest ranking was a 46. So, I mean, it, just a player that I think had upside, fits a positional need, and was one of the better players available. at that pick for me, and so just really went with that one.
Obviously, like speaking of you know, deficiencies and everything, we have to get Pat someone to cover, right? So if he can't go to Russia and cover Michkov, at least he maybe can go to Leksand and cover Felix Unge Sørum, a Norwegian-born Swedish player who played for Sweden in the World Junior Under-18s now. He has really been coming through. He's a point-per-game player in point-per-game player this season in the J20s, and even got his debut with Leksand, playing 7 games in the SHL this season. He's so young that if he was only born 48 hours later, he would have been eligible for the 2024 draft instead of this one. So there's a lot of potential here. He is a deceptive player. He's a playmaker. He's really quick in and out of his strides. I know that Hadi spoke glowingly about him when I asked who the hell this guy was, when he suddenly had him in his 40s in his list of prospects going into the draft. But yeah, Felix Unge Sørum, my 101 for the Montreal Canadiens.
101, again, I was thinking positionally, like Jared mentioned, defense is another area where, you know, you kind of think you can do it a little bit later on in the draft. And so I did. I went with Dylan McKinnon from the Halifax Mooseheads. Anybody who's watched the Halifax Mooseheads in the past season, you know, their offense was mostly centered around Jordan Dumais and the like up front. Dylan McKinnon was a very steady presence for them on the back end, very good defensively, big body. And I think the offense is coming along with him. So I think he's lower in the draft than he should be because people are not seeing the offensive capabilities because he didn't really get a chance to show them very much. I think he's a guy that when he develops, he's going to be not necessarily like a 50, 60 point defenseman, but I think he could easily be in the 30, 45 point range. And with a plus in the defensive end because he's very physical and he's not even filled out into his frame yet. So this guy's going to be a menace when he gets to the next level. I think he's way lower in the rankings than he should be. And getting him at 101, I think, would be a coup for the Habs.
This is the area of the draft where you start thinking, are you swinging for the fences? Are you looking at a late birthday? Because as Anton did with Unge Sørum, you have more or less another full year of development under your supervision, rather than having someone taken very, or at least before Christmas, in this year's draft. So you have that all these things that you think, or are you thinking on a positional need as a goalie in this case, because there will be goalies left, and you might have a favorite goalie of those. It's a big discussion, and really it's a crapshoot in some ways. And when you do a full mock draft, and Jared, I think you said it in the chat, when you reach these numbers, you're really not sure of whom to pick anymore. Even how you can have done a lot of research, but if you're not David Saint-Louis or Hadi that has spent about 700 hours on research, you're at loss here.
Yeah, I read the over the weekend the every prospect profile in the Elite Prospects Guide, and there's a lot of them in there. I didn't read all the game reports. I didn't read all 1,600 pages. I'm not a maniac, but yeah, you know, even doing that, I get to these picks, you know, in the hundreds and 200s, and I'm just like looking at the list. And I'm like, I think I recognize some of these names, but I don't remember anything about them as players. And it's just, it kind of gets a little crazy, but I'll go with my number 110 pick, and I'll start that off because I went with Joey Willis, of the Saginaw Spirit in the OHL, just another two way forward, a lot of upside. I just think if you put a lot of these guys together and, you know, you have the two-way effectiveness of players that have the ability to go up in the ice and have intensity and use that intensity, you can never have too many of those guys. And if they all end up making the NHL, then you figure it out afterwards. So I think most of my picks can be described as people who are 5'10 to 6 foot and can play two ways of the ice and are just annoying to play against. I think, you know, every forward I've taken has been that way, except for maybe Jaden Perron, who's a little bit shorter than that. But yeah, I went with Joey Willis. Probably his biggest fan is Lauren Kelly of Elite Prospects. Just like Owen Beck was a favorite of hers last year, and that one was proven right. So I've gone in that direction again. That's where I went with 110.
110, I stuck with defense, and I went with one of the best names in the draft, Brady Cleveland. Big boy from the U.S. I liked what I saw from him at the under-18s. He looked pretty good there. Offensively, I mean, he's not going to blow the doors off from a scoring perspective, but he's a big body. I wanted to try to get a mix of size and as well as small skilled players when I was doing the mock draft. So I saw him come available there and I figured, you know, it's a pretty good pick from a defensive standpoint. I don't think you're going to be able to develop him into a guy that's going to score a heck of a lot at the NHL level. But let's face it, you can't have a bunch of scoring defensemen. You need to have some guys that can stay at home, that can make it a nightmare to play against you in the defensive zone. And that's what he does. So took him at 110.
And I went with a partner for our future Slovak line. We have Juraj Slavkovský at the right wing. We have possibly Filip Mešar down the middle. And then we need a left winger. And we found him in Ondrej Molnar, who used to play for HK Nitra in Slovakia, but changed to the Airy Otters, where he played 34 games during this last season. He wasn't blowing the roof off the Otters. He only had 19 points in those 34 games and a minus 27 plus minus statistics, which is not very impressive, but we know for a fact that it can be difficult for European guys and maybe especially Eastern European guys coming over for the first time to North America and just finding their stride instantly. He still has already, he turned 18 on February 8th. He already has 60 games in the Slovak men's league under his belt and has played for the Slovakia under 20 national team and the under 18 naturally as well. Under 18 during last season, he was a point per game player while he played for the national team there. A fun Slovak addition. So we can find more and more of these. Just call us the Montreal Slovakians.
Yeah, and I went with someone that played in Slovakia, his brother, at least I think so. I haven't checked it up, but I went with Jordan Tourangy. I needed some French guy in there as well, obviously. Positional need, you need a French guy out of the queue. Had a really, really good second year with the Shonigan Cataractes. I want to say that in Spanish, but I know it's not correct.
Cataract.
He's been a quarterback running the power play. What is it? 6 goals, 41 points, ranked 5th on the team in scoring, 2nd on defense. A little bit of a breakout season. And I think it is, I don't watch the Q a lot. I know it seems to be a little bit of a monker and beating down on the Q, but I like him. Obviously, I like his brother as well. So we'll see what happens. And that's my pick. Bright defense as well. Doesn't really hurt.
With my next pick, I actually went with a goalie, finally. Finally filled that hole that I've been looking for. And I went with Thomas Milic, overage player, Seattle Thunderbirds. At this point, I was really, I knew I needed a goalie. So I just, you know, sorted by position and took the best goalie I thought was there. And Milic was the guy who was there.
Jared, it's never good to draft for need. You always end up overdrafting when you do that.
You look, when you're in the fifth round or whatever this pick is, and we're not professionals. We just pick the names that we recognize. If we're being honest here,
we don't have a team around us,
right?
That tells us who.
Yeah, no, exactly, exactly. So I mean, look, at this point, I think, you know, I like Milic. I think this is probably a little higher than he gets picked in real life, but just to make sure I got a goalie that I liked. I went with him here.
And I can be very quick. 128, I selected Jordan Tourigny to reconnect the Tourigny brothers. Obviously, it's too good of a pick to not happen for the Canadians, having both of the Tourigny brothers in the pipeline, with the eventuality of them playing together in Laval or even the Canadians down the line.
I had Tourigny in my sights as well, but as you guys know, I'm the number one booster of all Swedish players of all time, really. I think I'm well known in the hockey community as being a huge booster. So I went with Zeb Forsfjall. I hope I pronounced that right. I definitely didn't.
That's a pretty good pronunciation, right, Matt.
Well, we're there. So my exposure to him is pretty limited to the under-18s, but I liked what I saw from him. Really good playmaking at the under-18s. Undersized guy, but like I said on the previous pick when I was going after a guy like Brady Cleveland, I want a good mix of size as well as smaller skilled players. And Forsfjall strikes me as one of those guys that, you know, he's got it when it comes to the passing. Really good vision on the ice. I liked what I saw from him at the under-18s, and I saw his name sitting there, and I was like, you know what? Jordan Tourigny went the pick before at 127. I'm like, who am I going to pick? And again, I'm the number one booster of all Swedish players of all time, so I decided to go with the Swedish guy, and we're going to give him a nickname of the Jedi, you know, use the Force when he gets to the NHL. So 128, Zeb Forsfjall.
In Sweden, everyone just thinks Seb McKeon from How the West Was Won. But fair play, you go with the Force instead. I also picked Forsfjell.
Great minds think alike.
Swedish. Yeah, but I'm not a booster of Swedish players. That's the problem. Everyone trusts you.
No, you hate European players, man. It's wild. I don't understand it.
Yeah. Actually, this pick is partly what I saw in the under-18s, but mostly it's because of his coach.
Mm.
I really, really like Robert Olsson. I think he has a great hockey mind. I think he should coach in the NHL one day. But development-wise, I think he will give this player a chance to succeed in SHL when it comes to it. And I think that matters a lot. He's going to have an opportunity to not only play 2-3 minutes a game. He's going to get a chance to play a lot of minutes when it happens. I'm uncertain if he's going to be center or winger. It speaks to me that he's going to be a winger down the line, but you never know. He might have a note from his doctor saying he's going to grow a couple of inches more. Who knows? And then I went at 133 with Alex Vermeier from U.S. national team. And or development program, center, winger, we don't know. A little bit of an underwhelming player from what we have come to expect out of the new development team. He was there 6'1", plays a two-way game, which means that you can pencil him in more or less on every spot in the bottom six and move up into the second line because of injuries, etc. Something I think, if it pans out, I'm not saying it's going to pan out, but if it pans out, you can do that. And those are the kind of players you're going to need if you're going to run a deep playoff performance.
Yeah, I went with some guy named Ben Robertson, who I've never heard of, but apparently was the USHL's most productive blue liner at even strength this season. He's going to play for Cornell University from this upcoming year, going the NCAA route. So you're going to get him for 4 years, which is always good. He can potentially develop into some sort of power play quarterback if it ends up being just at the AHL level, or if he can actually squeeze into some kind of Chris Weidman type of role in the NHL. You know, that would be great to get that in. Where are we? Round 5? Ben Robertson, a guy who is not even on the NHL draft rankings. So he was difficult to find.
I went with another right-handed defenseman. And, you know, what's the goal here, right? The goal is to eventually hoist Stanley. And what better way to hoist Stanley than with a player named Hoyt Stanley, who was my pick.
The dad jokes are coming in fast here now, guys.
You know what? As I'm entering names into the list, I have his name, and his name comes up. So I'm like, okay, Control F, Stanley. And I'm like, hey, that's a pretty funny name. And so I don't know, but even he's there, I just, you know, 6'2", right-hand defenseman. He has above average grades in skating, passing, and puck handling. He's a physical player. And I think that if you can skate, if you can pass, and if you're physical and you have the size, you know, you can try and make a player out of that. So especially this late in the draft, you're drafting for tools, right? No player drafted this late is a total package. So you kind of draft for the package. And just reading his profile, he's a player that stuck out, not only for his name, but for the abilities. And you know, putting him with Matthew Mania on the right side of my prospect depth chart is a good swing for me.
Matt?
You know, I also went with a 6'2" right-handed defenseman, but I went with Caden Hamill from the WHL. He split the year between two teams, Kamloops and Everett. I think that when players get traded midway through a season in their draft year, I think it has an impact on their rankings. I think this is a guy who's probably considerably higher on the rankings if he stuck with one team. Like if he was with Kamloops the whole way through the year, I think he's a little bit higher. We're not talking like first or second round here, but big body guy, good defensively, and he seems to have some significant scoring upside as well. So again, trying to get my balance of skill and size and getting that 6'2" big body defenseman this late in the draft, it feels right.
And who do you got as your next pick?
What number are we on now? We're on
144.
44. I went with Austin Roast, again from the WHL. Apparently, I'm just loving on the WHL players. Another guy who played with Everett. I saw him a few times during the course of the year and was definitely very impressed with him. The guy had over a point per game in the WHL, which is usually those types of players, they tend to go pretty high in the draft. So the fact that he was available this late, I think it's because he was passed over once before because he was available in last year's draft, if I'm not mistaken. I think this is a great pick for them, a good upside pick. And I think the Habs have had a lot of success drafting older players later on in the draft before. So I kind of wanted to continue that. When I saw him available, I thought it was a smart move.
Yeah, he's not rusty, so I picked him as well. Anton?
I was busy searching here if Roast was spelled R-O-A-S-T, but apparently not. No, at 144, I went with a player that Jared has already picked a little earlier, Joey Willis from the Saginaw Spirit. I was the smart GM here and selected him. You know, I held my breath a little bit and I was able to select him a full round later. But apparently he's an intelligent player. He plays a good two-way game. And his low point total shouldn't, you know, steer you off him. Apparently he has more potential than that would show. So Joey Willis from the Saginaw Spirit at 144.
Jared?
My pick at 144 was Beckett Hendrickson from the U.S. National Under-18 team.
You just wanted another Hendrickson.
Great name. Great name.
Another great name, yes. But I just think that, and Pat mentioned it when he mentioned the player he took from the U.S. National program. I just think that, you know, this team is such a top-heavy team with those, with that bit, you know, the big line of Perreault, Will Smith, Ryan Leonard, that I think that some of the guys who are, you know, maybe on that second or third or fourth line on that team are going to come up and show something that they didn't get a chance to show on that team. And I think that, you know, you saw it on that 2018 team that was unbelievable. There were players that kind of snuck up and you know, outproduced some of the players who played higher on that team. And Hendrickson is, you know, 6'2", left shot winger, high vision, has good transition game. I just think that, you know, like I said before, you're going with tools, and you know, he has the size, he has the ability to surprise from where he is. And that was my pick at 144.
And who do you have at?
Yeah, 165. I went back to the right D, and picked a big physical defensive defenseman, Carter Sutherland, with Portland.
I have him as well
in the WHL. Again, I didn't get the top end talent at right D that I might have wanted, you know, early on in the draft, because they didn't really fall the way I wanted to. So just going with depth and hoping that they strike. And between Sutherland and Stanley and Mania, I'm really comfortable that one of those guys will make it. and just a lot to like. I think at this point of the draft, I'm not a huge, you know, pick big players because they're big, but when they're big and they can skate, and they show some ability, then those are the guys that kind of get overlooked a little bit, right? Because they, you know, they might not have the production and things like that, but especially on defense, the Montreal Canadiens have shown that if you're a big guy who can skate, you can have an NHL future. I think Arber Jacka is an example of that, right? He's never really had huge production, but was able to get his other tools to a point where he was a solid player, and I think that's kind of the new model of D. And so yeah, so that's why I went with it 165.
Yeah, I can also add to that, since I also have Sutherland at 165, that he was ranked 55th overall in Elite Prospects final ranking. So getting him at 165 just felt like too big of a steal to pass up on. You know, as they say, like, you know, in a different era, he would have been pigeonholed into a shutdown role, but he has more potential than that. He is a, you know, he skates well for his size. And as you say, in comparison with Arber Jacka, even if I probably think Jacka as a player is more physical, but still, you know, getting that kind of like big defenseman who can move that late in the draft sounds great.
I went again with an overager, somebody who's already been passed over before. I went with Ty Higgins from the Akadzi Bathurst Titan. Look, he was a guy who's playing with Riley Kidney for a lot of the year until Riley Kidney got traded. So I got the chance to see him quite a few times. He's a late bloomer. He didn't even make his debut in the QMJHL until last year. And he actually did very well on a struggling Titan team in this past season. So I think he deserves a look. I think he deserves an opportunity to go to a camp. I think he's probably a guy that's going to need a few years, like maybe has to follow that Miguel Tourigny path of going to Europe for a little bit before he can turn pro in North America. But he's a guy, again, late bloomer, got good size, and he's got good scoring coming from the blue line as well. To put up 41 points in 68 games on a team that was really struggling to put the puck in the net, particularly after they traded away Riley Kidney to capitalize on his value, I think that's admirable, and I think it's worth a late pick here. Again, the Habs have had success taking some of those older players later in the draft. Continue that. I think it's a smart way to go, to look at players that are a little bit more developed, a little bit older, and a little bit more projectable, because you can see what they've been able to do at a bit of a more advanced age.
I just went with a fine pick, so I went with Ryan Fine. I have absolutely no idea about him, except for him playing out of the U.S. National Team Development Program, which speaks a lot to me. So 5'7", though. That's going to be probably one of the shortest guys in the draft. I'll give it a shot. This late, you draft on names or upside or whatever you know about someone. So for the 197th pick, I obviously realized that it wasn't Adam Engström's kid brother that has signed to go to university. But I did draft Liam Engström. Out of Örebro anyway.
Don't worry to anybody listening. We're going to do a lot more research when the Canadians pick these picks than when we're making these picks.
Yeah, exactly. So at 197, I finished my draft off with also a U.S. National Team Development Program player, Beckett Hendrickson, who you've already talked about, Jared. We picked a lot of the same players draft.
You picked him with the last pick of the draft, right? Because you wanted to rank him the last spot.
Yeah, it's also because, you know, obviously I'm a more skilled GM than Jared. So I select all these players slightly later. No, but it's just Hendrickson apparently is one of the more skilled passers in the draft. But he is a pass first and almost pass only kind of player. You know, He's young. He can still develop more of an arsenal. He's quite a good transition player already. So getting him at 197, that finishes off.
You wanted to put him at last spot in your top 25 out of 25.
I don't want no. We don't need a Hendrickson for that. We have other guys.
Matt,
I've actually researched my 197th pick pretty well. I took Cole Burbage from the St. John Sea Dogs. That's my local team, so I've seen him plenty of times. He had 50 points in 68 games as a rookie in the QMJHL on, again, a struggling Sea Dogs team. They barely made the playoffs, and then they got bounced out in five games by the Gatineau Olympique. He's a guy that I would call it elite hockey sense. He gets by on the fact that he thinks the game at a very high level. He's 6'1" and only 160 pounds. So I think that is the main reason why he's not ranked higher, because he is a beanpole. He's very tall and very lanky, and that affects his skating a little bit. He skates sometimes like a guy who just figured out that he has legs, but because he's so smart on the ice, he's always well positioned. He's putting himself in places where he can succeed. He drives the net very well. Off puck positioning, fantastic. He gets himself into the slot and makes himself available for passes. I think this is a guy that's going to have a breakout next year. I think if he adds a couple of pounds, more than a couple of pounds of muscle, which should be easy for him given his frame. I mean, I was waiting to interview Riley Kidney after a game one time, and he walked past me with his skates on, and he's so incredibly tall. Like, I'm 6 feet tall, and I know he had his skates on, but he was dwarfing over me. The only issue for him is adding some of that muscle, getting a little bit stronger on his skates. And I think that'll help him with his skating issues as well. Again, this is a hockey sense bet, and I really hope that the Montreal Canadiens make it, because he's a guy who could slide out of this draft. And then if he breaks out next year, we're going to see him go higher, even though he's been passed over once. We might see him go higher in the draft. So I hope that if he's sitting around available for them at 197 or even at 165, that they take him.
Interesting. Always good to have people that has seen more of these picks later on and knows a little bit more. Jared, who's your last pick?
I finally went to Sweden and took Albert Wickman, left-handed defenseman from Färjestad. 6'1", 194. Again, you know, over 6 feet, really good skater. I think that that's the model of player you look for, especially this late in the draft. Just a player that, you know, he played 11 games in the SHL last year as a draft eligible player. Obviously, probably didn't get very many minutes in those games, but just the fact that he's getting that experience. I just think at this point in the draft, why not take a swing and maybe you get another Adam Entrum later on. At this point, there's so many guys that deserve to be drafted. Like, if you read profiles or watch, you know, under 20, under 18s, there's so many guys who are not going to get drafted who, you know, would impress you in game or whose tools impress you. And it just shows that, you know, even though there's like 200 and, you know, whatever, 220 something picks in the draft, there's more players than that who might deserve to get a look, and that's why you see these guys coming back as overagers. So yeah, no, it's a fun experience to do this and kind of see what you do, and really looking forward to seeing what the Canadians do and deep diving into those picks.
You've been listening to Habs and Minded, another draft special with the full crew. I want to thank Jared, Matt, and Anton, wherever now he is, because he's just making up silly names now, for taking the time out of the day to do this. We hope to see you on draft day. I know Matt and I will definitely do instant reactions as normal. Jared and Anton will probably write up profiles about who's been drafted or which trade has gone where, and if Pierre-Luc Dubois has come to Montreal or not. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for participating. Enjoy the draft.